Hey everyone, it's Marvin. This episode of Books and Boba is brought to you by Home Interrupted, a new podcast from our partners at Feet in Two Worlds. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds' Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds' Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to
Whoa!
Potluck.
You're listening to Books and Boba, a book club and podcast featuring books by Asian and Asian American authors. My name is Marvin Yue.
And I'm Rira Yu.
And we're here today for our July 2021 mid-month book news check-in, where we go over the latest publishing and book news in Asian American literature. Rira, how is your summer going so far?
It's hot. It's way too hot.
I know. What sucks is since we're recording from home, we have to turn off our ACs to give you, the listener, the best quality podcast we can manage. And that means the longer this podcast session goes, the more miserable Rira and I will get. So we're doing this for you. Just know.
It's out of love.
Well, let's get to it so we can get out of this heat as soon as possible. Yeah, I'm excited to get this session over with because they opened a Sunrite tea factory near my house. And that's been my latest boba obsession. Of course, I don't drink boba with my milk tea anymore, so more milk tea obsession. They have a really great Hokkaido milk tea that's been my jam for the last few weeks. So looking forward to some refreshing milk tea beverage after this recording.
It's definitely been a boba season for sure.
Oh, it's always boba season.
No, it's but always when it's book summer,
season,
though.
It's always boba season here on yes. Books and Boba.
Right, right.
Although we rarely talk about boba. Which I fear our listeners might think is false advertising, but the boba is more just symbolism for the fact that we're Asian. Is it symbolism or a signifier? More of a signifier.
I don't know.
Right?
Like we came up with a bunch of different names before with like Asian in the title of our name, but we're just like, I don't know. Like we want it to be more subtle
and alliterative.
That's true. Well, like whenever I tell people that I do this podcast, the first thing that they always say is, wow, that's a really good name. So
it's an awesome name.
Yeah, we lucked out on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to trademark that. All right. So we're going to get to our book deals that we pull from Publishers Weekly, Twitter, and bunch of different sources that I find randomly. So yeah. Here we go.
Rira, what's our first deal?
In a six-figure auction, Random House bought North American rights to two books by Mai Nardone. The first book, Welcome Me to the Kingdom, is set in Bangkok and stretches over the course of three decades, before, during, and after the 1997 financial collapse. The book is described to illuminate great truths about class, race, and religious belief at the center of a Thai culture buffeted by the economic and cultural headwinds of global capitalism. Welcome Me to the Kingdom is set for 2022 with a second book, an untitled novel, that is not yet scheduled.
That sounds interesting. That sounds, you know, I think we need more books about the effects of globalization, especially the importation of like capitalism into developing countries and like the chaos. You know, it brings opportunity, but it also brings chaos and stratification of classes as capitalism does. And yeah, it sounds like a feel good summertime beach read is what I'm saying.
Anytime capitalism is put into the book summary, you know that there is some good times ahead.
All right. Congratulations to Mai on their book deals. Next up, Little Brown acquired in an exclusive submission World Rights to Hollow Fires by Samir Ahmed, her next novel about revolutionary girls. The found footage story follows young journalist Safiya Mirza and her investigation into the disappearance of teen inventor Jawad Ali as she confronts the insidious nature of racism, the costs of unearthing hidden truth, and the undeniable power of hope. Publication is slated for summer 2022. Man, just one feel-good story after another here.
I mean, this sounds really interesting. It sounds like a thriller, and that is definitely up my alley when it comes to genres. So yeah. I am pretty stoked about this.
And found footage story sounds really interesting. Sounds like a really hard way to write a story, to be honest.
But it can also be very surprising, you know, like it's much easier to plant in twists when you have an unreliable narrator. So,
yeah.
Congratulations to Samira Ahmed. So our next book deal, Oni Press acquired at auction World Rights to Agent Cupcake by writers May Hilario and Lauren Davis and illustrator Katie Longua, the team behind Debian Pearl Digital Detective. In this middle grade graphic novel, 12-year-old Miguel Mangayayam has always been obsessed with magical creatures, so he's thrilled when he's recruited by the Mystical Beast Bureau as their first human field agent. It gets even better when he's partnered with Agent Cupcake, a skilled unicorn spy. But when members of a reclusive unicorn community start losing their magical powers, Miguel and Cupcake must figure out why. Publication is set for fall 2024. I like this. Unicorn Spies. That sounds like a really fun novel.
It's like My Little Pony meets James Bond. I love it.
I remember like when I was a kid, there were like shows like Kids Next Door and what was it called? It was like hall safety officers, and every episode was kind of like noir. I forgot the name of the show, but there were a lot of like shows like that where you had like young kids or like magical creatures acting as like, you know, James Bond or secret agents. And yeah, it's really reminiscent of that, and it's really fun. So congratulations.
All right, our next deal, Coca-Cola bought world rights to I Want to Be Spaghetti by writer and recipe developer Kira Wright-Ruiz and illustrated by Claudia Lamb. The book tells the story of how one little ramen packet finds self-love in a spaghetti-obsessed world with subtle commentary on colonialism's relationship to food. Publication is projected for 2023. Yes, let's teach the kids about colonialism and food.
Yeah, ramen is great, so why would you want to be spaghetti? Sounds like a very cute story.
Spaghetti was just biting off ramen to begin with, right? Because the Italians didn't discover noodles until they, you know, I don't know if they stole
we're going
it
with that
from
story.
Asia, but you know,
like they stole our dumplings.
They stole our dumplings.
Their,
they stole our noodles.
Their raviolis are actually dumplings.
Oh, they took our noodles.
And we're not historians, by the way, so we actually don't know if that is true. So please take our words with a grain of salt. All right. Next up, HarperCollins acquired World Rights to the Greatest River, written by Namita Mulani Mehra and illustrated by Koha Lee. The picture book takes readers on a journey with Ananda, who finds strength, comfort, and healing at a time when she needs it the most, in a place deeply meaningful to her mother, the holy river of India, Ganga. Publication is slated for winter 2024.
Sorry, I was looking up the history of pasta. Is this based on like a folktale or is it like original story? Do you know?
I think it's an original story. Okay. And it seems like it's about grief because it says deeply meaningful to her mother. So I'm guessing that it has to do with like losing your mother and dealing with grief and finding healing, which is always a great message for younger readers. People always underestimate what younger readers can understand. So it's really nice to have books that can delve into these types of topics.
Yeah, while also being culturally sensitive and specific. Next up, Kids Can Press acquired world rights to The Shape of You by Moon T. Vaughn, which takes a fresh look at the shapes that make up our world. Miki Sato will illustrate. Publication is set for fall 2023.
I just thought of like Ed Sheeran, you know, because like The Shape of You is
I'm pretty sure this is like a book about just shapes, right? Like squares and triangles and circles and stuff.
I mean, it would be really funny if, you know, I'm just thinking about like a picture book that takes like really big pop songs and just illustrate like parts of the lyrics. I think that would be pretty fun. But anyway,
I'm pretty sure that
Ed Sheeran
song is about sexy times, which I don't know if it's a good message for children. Right?
No. Okay, so next up, Cameron Kids acquired world rights to Eat Your Peas, Julius, written by Shirin Yim Bridges and illustrated by Fiona Lee. The picture book is about young Julius Caesar and how even the future leader of the Roman Republic has to finish everything on his plate. Publication is planned for fall 2022. We all know what happened to Julius Caesar, right?
You mean getting stabbed by his best friends and coworkers?
Yeah.
I feel like this book is liable for the Julius Caesar estate because I don't know if we can historically prove that he did not.
That's true, but it is fun. It's a fun way to learn history, I guess. I don't know, like peas, eat your olives, Julius, because, you know, olives are more native to Italy. So,
and they do taste funkier. I never had a problem with my peas. I don't know about you.
It's because we're Asian.
That's true. We are trained.
Peas are in so many.
Everything on our plate, regardless of our feelings.
Man, I hated eating like rice with peas for like the longest time.
Really?
Yeah, because like the peas in like rice are humongous, and it's like the texture is so weird. But of course, you know, you were taught at a young age to eat whatever is given to you.
I mean, so. I feel like the only times I had peas in my rice was in fried rice, which was totally fine.
No, like it was just like white rice or brown rice with like. Oh. Huge chunks of peas
maybe
in
that's
it.
That's just some Korean thing then.
Maybe it's just a Korean thing. I don't know. If you're Korean and you're listening to this, please let us know. Maybe it's just my childhood. Who knows?
All right. Next up, Putnam acquired Mei Koyuto's YA rom-com, Chloe and the Kai Shao Boys. The story is about a Chinese-Filipino girl from Manila whose father sets her up on a marathon of dates in hopes that she'll get a boyfriend and want to stay in the Philippines for college instead of going to school in the U.S. Publication is slated for fall 2022.
Yo, this sounds fun. Like, it also sounds like something that real parents would do in real life.
I don't know. I feel like this plan is doomed to fail.
I think it's interesting that he wants his daughter to stay in the Philippines for college because most people want their children to study abroad.
It's true.
For education.
Especially in the U.S., which is seen as like the, you know, where you send your kids out for clout. But I mean, this dad obviously really wants his daughter to stay because he's willing to put up with a boyfriend, which most dads.
That's true. You know. Yeah. Yeah. A marathon of dates. So it's more than just one guy. So it sounds really fun.
Yeah. Usually it's the mom that's sending up the dates. So, you know, it's flipping the script a little bit.
That's true. You don't really see the dad setting up the blind dates. It's really funny. All right. Next up, in an exclusive submission, HarperCollins bought Girls to the Front, written and illustrated by Nina Mata. This middle grade nonfiction anthology highlights and celebrates Asian American and Pacific Islander women throughout American history whose contributions helped create, shape, and inspire our nation. Publication is planned for early winter 2024.
Yeah.
This sounds like an anthology that I could use as an adult, and I'm pretty sure kids out there will need it too. But
I love that it's middle grade, so I can, again, another book I can send off to my nieces, you know, empower them.
I've been seeing a trend where a lot of books are coming, there are a lot of books that are showcasing hidden contributions by women scientists, engineers, because history is mainly told by straight white men who steal credit from a lot of POCs and women. So it's nice that we have like more resources where you can learn more about history. And it's nice that we do have like a middle grade nonfiction anthology that's specifically about Asian American and Pacific Islander women, because that's like, I don't know, like you like women are considered like invisible in a lot of fields. And then you add like the whole like person of color on top of that. And that is just like double ceiling. So
yeah,
I'm really excited to read this. Yeah, definitely going to check it out when it comes out in early winter 2024.
Yeah. Next up, First Second acquired Kitty McLeod's middle grade graphic memoir, Continental Drifter, a story about a Thai American girl caught between two worlds, Bangkok, where her family lives, and Maine, where they spend their summers. Publication is scheduled for 2023. I don't know much about Maine, but it seems like it's would be very white.
It is very white. A lot of my classmates in college were from like that area, like Maine and Connecticut. And it's definitely like where a lot of upper class, like white, like families live. So it's interesting because they're spending their summers in Maine. Maine doesn't really seem to be like a summer location to me.
Well, you think that, but also summers in Bangkok are horribly oppressive.
Yeah, they are horrible.
Like humidity and heat. So if I lived in Thailand, I would want to go someplace cool and coastal for my vacations.
Yeah, and this is a graphic memoir. So this is based on Kathy's life. So. Yeah. Yeah, it sounds really interesting.
Another story that kind of flips the script, because usually, well, I mean, speaking from a Chinese American perspective, we spend our days here in California and then we go to Asia for our summers, which, you know, as you know, in Korea and Taiwan, where my family's from, it gets really hot. And it's
real hot. It's miserable.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Actually, the worst time to go if you don't like humidity. And mosquitoes.
The best time to go to Korea is like in the spring or late fall, because it's relatively like a good temperature. But I think spring is the best because you see all of like the cherry blossoms and
yeah.
Like, the flowers.
Well, you guys get winters, like actual winters too, right?
Oh yeah, like winter, like subways freeze and they have to like stop the trains.
Yeah, in Taiwan, we just get a typhoon season. So it rains a lot. But
oh, we get typhoon season.
It's a tropical island,
well.
So we don't really get really winter down there.
We get all of the seasons. It's the freaking worst. Okay, so in an exclusive submission, FSG acquired World Rights to Brown, written by Supriya Kelker and illustrated by Nur Sofi. The book is an ode to all the positive, beautiful things about the color brown and what they mean to one Indian American girl as she creates a gift just in time to welcome her new baby brother to the world. Publication is planned for fall 2022.
Yeah. So I guess this is a children's book by Supriya Kelker?
Yeah. Like I like the fact that it's it focuses on the color brown, which is a color that a lot of young kids are taught that it's like dirty. It's not as like nice as like white skin color tone. So it's nice that there is a book dedicated to showing all of the beauty that's related to brown.
Yeah.
And also about like becoming an older sibling. I think that is like a very unique experience where like you're an only child for a short while and you're like the most precious thing ever. And then you have a younger sibling show up and it's like, how do you deal with that?
Yeah. All right. Next up, Scholastic Bot Must Love Pets, a young middle grade series by Sadia Faruqi, the writer of Meet Yasmin. The series centers on a Pakistani American girl who starts a pet sitting business with her friends to prove she is ready for a pet of her own. The series launches in summer 2022 with furry friends forever.
Pet sitting business. Nice. How entrepreneurial for a young girl.
Although, if I was her parent, I would say, well, why would you want your own pets when you're taking care of everyone else's pets?
That is true.
Right?
My parents were like not pet people. But at the same time, we're allergic to fur. So there was a lot of upkeep in terms of getting the right pet. All right, next up, Modern Marigold Books bought world rights to Basking in My Brown by Fatima Faisal, a picture book featuring a girl celebrating the beauty of her brown skin and Pakistani culture in the summer sun. The book will be illustrated by Pakistan-based artist a 9 Shaikh. Publication is scheduled for July 2022. Another book that celebrates the color brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, burn that internalized colorism to the ground.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Delacorte Acquired Lancers, the debut YA trilogy by author Yoon-Ha Lee, author of Dragon Pearl and The Night Fox Gambit. This adrenaline-fueled sci-fi adventure follows Hua Young, a teen training to be an Imperial Lancer pilot, after her rebel moon home is literally ripped apart. But when she uncovers a terrible secret that the Empire has been hiding from its citizens, she must return to her rebel roots and save her world. Book one is planned for summer 2023.
Another sci-fi that is about rebelling against the Empire. Nice. Yes.
I haven't read the Dragon Pro, but my only experience with Yoon-Ha Lee is Night Fox Gambit, which was kind of dense. So I'm assuming their middle grade novels are much more accessible.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be. You can't really go into deep space physics in like middle grade space adventures. Although maybe there is a way to like water it down and make it more accessible. Who knows? But this sounds really fun. I love stories about like fighting against the Empire and having commentary on imperialism. We've read those types of stories for this podcast. And it's a debut YA trilogy, so I'm guessing that it's going to be a little bit darker than Dragon Pearl. I haven't read Dragon Pearl either, but it sounds really fun.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, in a 6-figure auction, Orbit won world English rights to Chelsea Abdullah's debut epic fantasy trilogy. Influenced by 1001 Nights, the first novel, The Stardust Thief, follows a smuggler and a prince as they set off on a quest through the desert to retrieve a lamp that could revive a barren land. Publication is slated for May 2022. Yes. I've never read 1001 Nights. Does that make me a very like bad literary
person? I feel
person?
Like 1001 Nights is the type of like story, I guess, anthology that we all just learn out of osmosis. Or, you know, Disney, right? We've all heard of Aladdin. And I actually don't know what else is part of 1001 Nights. I know the story around 1001 Nights, which is the princess, what is their name? Shahrazad, telling a story to the Sultan to prevent her from being murdered. But I actually don't know any stories besides Aladdin, which I guess the Stardust Thief is based on, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I really like stories where you take your own culture and make it into a fantasy world, because we've had so many like medieval English fantasies. So it's nice to broaden the canon a little bit. Fantasy exists in other worlds, too.
Yeah.
All right. So next up is you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Next up, Algonquin Acquired. All right. Next up, Algonquin Acquired World Rights to Dust Child by Win Phan Quay Mai, the author of The Mountain Sing. Her sophomore novel follows three American and Vietnamese families from the 1960s to present day as they grapple with the trauma and the ostracizing of abandoned. As they grapple with trauma and the ostracizing of abandoned Asian people in Vietnam.
There's no publication date.
As of now, there is no publication date. But yeah, seems. Seems
I've heard
like
great
a...
things about The Mountain Sing. I'm trying to like remember if it won an award or not, but I do remember a lot of people reading it last year because it came out in 2020 and a lot of people liked it. So it is on my list of possible book club picks. It sounds really... since it's her sophomore novel, I'm guessing that she's kind of like broadening her brand because... The Mountain Sing is also historical fiction. So,
yeah, I mean, it sounds like this is also historical fiction, right?
Yeah, 1960s Vietnam.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm glad to see, as always, more authors writing from not only their own like family or cultures of experience, but also, you know, countering the mainstream narrative of like the Vietnam War, right? Because we've always like this isn't anything new for listeners or a podcast, but you know, the general consensus, like the general public's view of the Vietnam War is always from the perspective of the soldiers that went there. And I mean, I feel like the stories that are worth being, and I feel like there's so many stories about the effects, like of especially the families that had to flee the country that still has yet to be told, right? Like it sucks for the soldiers, but it also sucked for the people who lost their country. So it's great to see stories like this, like Dust Child, like The Sympathizer, kind of telling those stories.
Yeah. All right, next up, Henry Holt bought at auction world rights to debut picture book Hidden Gem by author-illustrator Linda Liu, as well as a second untitled picture book. Pitched as the humor of John Klassen meets the whimsical style of Miyazaki, Hidden Gem is about an ordinary gray pebble that is envious of its more colorful, shiny peers as it traverses a museum of unique and precious rocks. Publication is planned for spring 2023. Sounds really cute. I can see this as like an animated short film.
Yeah, I can see kids being, you know, charmed by an anthropomorphic rock.
Everybody has a gem inside them. Everyone is a pearl.
Yeah. All right, next up, Harper Teen acquired Just Happy to Be Here by Naomi Kanakia, a contemporary YA novel about Tara, an Indian-American trans girl who transfers from her prestigious all-boys school to the sister school that she's always idealized. But once there, Tara has to decide whether she's content to be treated like a second-class citizen or whether to risk her place by demanding that her school live up to its own principles. Publication is scheduled for spring 2023.
I like it. It sounds really, it sounds like a really important read.
Yeah.
Not to say that like books like these have to be issue books, but it's nice that the main character is an Indian American trans girl. It's definitely not a protagonist you see often in fiction. And I like the fact that the main character goes to a sister school. And that's like a whole nother ball game when it comes to like learning how to fit in, right? So
yeah,
it sounds really interesting. All right, next up, Green Willow bought middle grade novel A Bit of Earth by Karuna Riazi, author of the Gauntlet series, and a second untitled novel. Told in a hybrid of verse and prose, A Bit of Earth is a contemporary retelling of The Secret Garden, starring a rebellious girl of Bangladeshi and Pakistani descent who finds herself shipped off to the white Claiborne family on Long Island after losing her activist parents. Publication is planned for fall 2022.
Now, this is The Secret Garden, the book, not the Korean drama, right?
Yeah, the book.
I have not
read. I didn't even think about the Korean drama.
It's sad to say, but I'm more familiar because of producing the Korean drama podcast of the Korean drama version, because I've never read The Secret Garden.
Oh man, Secret Garden was like one of my favorite books as like a child. And when I say like child, I think like maybe when I was like five or 6 years old. So yeah, like I'm really excited to read this. It's nice that the main character is Bangladeshi and Pakistani, because in the original Secret Garden, the main character is a white girl who is from India. And I mean, that's a whole different story. but Secret Garden has been adapted into like multiple films, and it's a story that I really like, so I'm really interested in seeing what Karuna Riazi did with her middle grade novel.
Yeah.
Also, Long Island. That's because, like, in Secret Garden, it takes place in England, like the English countryside. So Long Island is a very different type of setting.
That's very different. Our next book deal, Labyrinth Road, acquired at auction Diba Zargarpur's middle grade debut, Farah Nurizad and the Ring of Fate, based on the mythology of the Seven Jinn Kings. This contemporary fantasy series follows 11-year-old Farah, who discovers her distant father is a Jin King after she accidentally traps him inside a magical ring with a birthday wish gone wrong. And her quest to free him leads right to the most devious Jin King of all. Publication is scheduled for summer 2023.
There's something about stories, about magical rings, that just hypes up the tension, you know? I really like the fact that it's called the Ring of Fate. It sounds really ominous. And yeah, congratulations to Diba on their middle grade debut. Okay, so our last book deal is, in an exclusive submission, Amazon Two Lions acquired North American English rights to Lawi by Anna Kang and Christopher Wayant. The book is about a girl named Sohee whose myriad of allergies prevent her from the only thing she's ever wanted, a pet to love and hold. Her life changes forever when she sets her eyes on a large highlighter yellow python. Publication is set for spring 2023. A python.
Man, I've never wanted a snake as a pet. They've always seemed kind of a hazard to my health.
They're scary. And also, like, don't you have to feed them live?
Oh, yeah. We had a snake in our biology teacher's room in high school. And every day during lunch break, she would let someone feed the snake a mouse.
Oh my God. That's so scary. Oh man. But I can totally understand with like having allergies that prevent you from having a pet. Like I said earlier, having allergies as a kid and my parents having allergies, having a pet was not really an option. So yeah, it's definitely a relatable story.
I mean, yeah. And I guess having a snake would be, I mean, I assume snakes are hyperallergenic because they don't have fur.
Fur?
Yeah. You could have had a snake, Brira.
But, like, a python is so big. Like, I can understand having, I don't know, like, a smaller snake. Like, I don't know, some kind of guarded snake. But pythons are humongous. Don't they, like, don't they continue to grow?
I have no knowledge of snakes, so.
I can't imagine, like, Korean parents being like, yeah, you can have a snake as a pet. That just doesn't seem like that would happen. But it sounds, I'm curious. This has sparked my curiosity for this book.
Yeah. All right. And with that, let's move on to our Asian American book news. We have a couple stories regarding Asian American literature adaptations into TV and film. Our first story is C. Pam Zhang's debut novel, How Much of These Hills is Gold, has been optioned by the Ink Factory to be developed into a TV series. Anita Goh from The Farewell has been attached as the executive producer through her Kindred Spirit banner, and Hansel Young has been attached as the writer. His credits include Netflix's Tale of the City and Apple TV's upcoming Pachinko. How Much of These Hills is Gold is a 2020 book that was longlisted for the Booker Prize and also selected as a Barack Obama Book of the Year. It is a story about Chinese-American immigrants arriving in the U.S. during the Gold Rush, and it's a novel about the conflict between two siblings carrying the body of their newly deceased father across a harsh landscape. I haven't actually read this book yet, but from what I understand, it is a Asian cowboy story, right? Or it's like an Asian Western?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's like an Asian Western. From what I've heard, it really flips a lot of stereotypes when it comes to like the Wild West. I mean, when we think about the Wild West, we think about like, I don't know, like Hollywood movies with like white men acting as cowboys. But the truth is, like, a lot of cowboys were like Latinos and also Black. So it is nice that it is putting an Asian face in this type of story because, as we all know, Asians existed in America for a very, very long time. So, yeah, I'm excited for this TV series since I have not read the book. And I don't know, maybe I will read the book before the TV series launch. So next up in our news list, Netflix has picked up rights to Maureen Gu's YA novel, Somewhere Only We Know, and it's currently being developed as a feature film with Lana Cho, who is the writer of the Hulu series Four Weddings and a Funeral. Maureen Gu, we've had her on the show. We've interviewed her for I Believe in a Thing Called Love, which was a YA novel about a teenager who is really bad at flirting and dating, and she follows steps and recipes from K-dramas to get the guy that she crushes on. But Somewhere Only We Know is described as Roman Holiday meets Before Sunrise, and the story follows a massive K-pop star and a tabloid photographer as they wander through the neon streets of Hong Kong, finding both adventure, love, and really good food because you're in Hong Kong.
Yeah, this is exciting because I think we've always said that Maureen Gu has a very, like, the vibes of her book would translate really well to, like, a Netflix series or movie. And I'm glad to see that it's happening.
Yeah, definitely. And I just love... I love Roman Holiday, and I love stories where a couple have like a very limited time to fall in love and just kind of figure out like how this relationship is going to work after the time runs out. So it's definitely my jam. I'm really excited to watch this when it finally comes out.
Yeah, I haven't read. No date. Yeah, I haven't read Somewhere Only We Know, but I feel like there's not only is there like the chemistry between the leads, but also the I mean, a K-pop star and a tabloid photographer also have like an innate antagonism between them, right? So I'm sure there's be like ulterior motives or like questioning of motives as like the central conflict.
Yeah, definitely. And the K-pop star is like, is a woman. So it kind of flips the expectations. I know that we have like a lot of K-pop books that are coming out lately where the love interest is like a K-pop idol from a boy band, but you know, it's like a K-pop girl star. So
yeah,
really interesting role in flipping expectations. All right, so we have one last piece of news, and it broke this morning, and it's about the Sympathizer adaptation. We've talked a lot about the Sympathizer in the past couple of episodes. So this is an update on the Park Chan-wook's adaptation. So Robert Downey Jr. is going to co-star in the adaptation. It doesn't say what he's going to play.
According to the article, he's playing literally all the white guys, which is interesting.
Like all of them?
Yeah, like basically all the antagonists that are white are going to be played by Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, that's interesting.
According to the article,
yeah.
If you want to talk about like, oh, how like white guys can't get roles anymore, now it's because Robert Downey Jr. is playing all of them in this movie, so blame him.
I mean, right now they don't have any other news about casting, but they are currently going through like a worldwide hunt for the main lead, who is described as half French, half Vietnamese in the book. And of course, they're going to try and cast Vietnamese actors, because I'm guessing that a lot of Vietnamese is going to be used in like the adaptation. I can't see like how that wouldn't be the case, because if they're just talking in English, I feel like it's going to lose a lot of the nuance, especially when the story moves into America. I really hope that it'll go in the direction of Bong Joon-ho's Snowpiercer, because that had a mixed cast of American stars and Korean stars. And when the characters would talk in Korean, it was subtitled. So I hope that there is like a blend of like stylistic choices that allows for the actors to be comfortable in their native tongue. But that's interesting. Robert Downey Jr. playing all of the white guys. it's kind of like John Malkovich. Very interesting.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Rira, once again for compiling all of our book news. Rira, remind us again what we're reading for the month of July.
We are reading Tia Lim's time travel novel, An Ocean of Minutes. So it takes place during a pandemic that has wiped out a large chunk of the population. And our main character, Polly, signs a contract with a company that will provide life-saving medicine to her boyfriend in exchange for her to be time-traveled 5 years into the future in indentured servitude. But she accidentally gets time-traveled forward too many years, and she's kind of in a land that she doesn't quite understand. It's not the America that she's familiar with. And while she is in this future that is uncertain, she's searching for her boyfriend. So a feel-good book for sure.
Yeah, we'll be discussing that book at the end of the month. So if you've already finished, let us know on Goodreads your thoughts about In Notion of Minutes. But looking forward to discussing this book with you, Rira.
Same here.
All right. And with that, that'll do it for this episode of Books and Boba. Thank you so much again for listening. Don't forget, if you enjoy our show, please leave us a rating review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you'd like to purchase the books that we've mentioned on this program, as well as support our podcast, please check out our bookshop.org store. Any purchases on there will help support our show as well as your local bookstores as well.
And okay, so we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, bye everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Books and Boba. This podcast was hosted by Marvin Yue and Rira Yu and edited and produced by Marvin Yue. Follow the book club on Twitter and Instagram by going to @booksandboba and engage with us on Goodreads on our Goodreads group. You can also check out past episodes of the podcast by going to booksandboba.com and by subscribing to us on your favorite podcast app. Don't forget, you can support Books and Boba and Asian American authors by purchasing books at our bookshop.org account. Check out the link in our show notes and also at booksandboba.com. Books and Boba is a proud member of the Potluck Podcast Collective, a collective of Asian American hosted podcasts featuring unique voices and stories from the Asian diaspora. Learn more about the collective and check out our fellow Potluck shows by visiting the website podcastpotluck.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey Brian, did you go to Saturday school as a kid?
I sure did. Did you?
Totally.
Well, at our podcast, Saturday School, we don't teach a language, but we pass along the culture that we do know.
And that's Asian American pop culture.
Ada is a journalist, and I'm a professor and film festival programmer.
We've watched a lot of great Asian American movies, and we want you to watch them too. Come listen to us as we look back at the pioneering films that have led us to today.